Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Our play-by-play call of the day. We go to Rio. Tom Hammond and Adam Bolton with the call of Usain Bolt's memorable 100-meter dash.
Set.
At the gun, Gatlin away. And can Bolt catch him? Here he is, still invincible. Usain Bolt. It doesn't matter who gets the lead. They are going to get caught.
Usain Bolt, 9.81. Saw the suit do a 9.81.
Where was it going?
Get an Entenmann's. All right, so. I thought the setup was too good on that. Sorry.
You take them when you can get them.
I can't believe it.
He's just happy that IndyCar renewed at Pocono. It was like Christmas just happened.
Terrific. All right. So the Little League World Series. I'm glad Indy renewed at Pocono too. I think it's. I prefer because of the speed of it. I prefer the speed of IndyCar. And I realize it doesn't give you the same, like, hey, I'm driving a Ford Taurus at 182 miles an hour. I understand that. As opposed to trying to drive a rocket at 220, 225. But I like watching the rocket at 220, 225 against other rockets going 220, 225. To me, racing is speed. That's what I look at. All right. That's why I would like the 100-meter dash. I mean, the marathon, you kind of tune in and go, oh, yeah, so, okay, great. 100-meter dash, 9.81 later, you're like, hey, wow, that was historic. All right, the Little League World Series gets underway. Lomedy Stadium, Volunteer Stadium, South Williamsport on Thursday. ESPN will have complete coverage, and I think ESPN does a lot of great work on events. But I've always felt that this is their best work. I just love their approach and how all of them handle it from production to announcers. One of the announcers happens to be Kyle Peterson of the College World Series and once again is back for the Little League World Series. Kyle, welcome. It is great to have you with us and great to have you with us in our backyard.
Hey, I appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
All right. So let's talk about approach here. ESPN obviously does a lot of things very well, but I've always felt that this may be the best thing that they do. Discuss approach and how you have to approach this, learning about kids, but also how you handle the games.
It's fun, and I think there's a variety of reasons. One, there's a ton of work that goes into this behind the scenes ahead of time, and obviously, you know, the relationship between ESPN and ABC and Little League International has been years, and so I think part of it is they've learned a ton over the years. From a personal standpoint, kind of the way that we approach it is obviously baseball is a major component of this, but I think the stories and the experiences that the kids are having and the environment in Williamsport and all of the, you know, just the way that the community embraces the event, the way that it's grown, that's the stuff that to me separates it from anything else. I mean, I grew up in Omaha. I live in Omaha. And the College World Series has been a big part of my life. And there's some similarities between the two, just the way the communities embrace the events. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they've grown so much over the years. But from our standpoint in covering it, not to say that baseball's secondary, because it's not. Clearly, that's a component of what we're doing. But I think it's the overall experience that the kids get. leading up to the event, and obviously in the 2 weeks that they spend there, that make the event so different from anything else that we do.
Kyle, what about the cooperation you get from the managers? Because there's so often that these guys are mic'd, they have to understand that they're mic'd, and your dealings with them. How great has that been over the years to get to know people who are volunteering for this?
It's good, and I think it's always interesting because you get such a gap. I mean, you get you get the coaching staffs that don't have any kids on the team. They do it just because they love baseball. You get the coaching staffs to where everybody has a kid on the team. And they're getting to experience this with their son on the field and you know, in an environment that you couldn't replicate anywhere else. For the most part, I think that the coaches understand that from a mic standpoint, A, I think it adds to the experience to whoever's at home because you can hear things that otherwise you couldn't hear. At the same time, sometimes, I actually think it keeps it makes guys think twice sometimes before maybe they're going to say something.
I agree with that.
It's really a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, there's a reality to it that it's competition. And I have an 11-year-old son, so I know that sometimes during the course of a game, competition sometimes can get the better of it. And maybe that little check and balance that sometimes is there, A, I think it gives people more access, which is a good thing. And it also, you know, it might dial it down sometimes on the field. At times, maybe it needs to be. But by and large, the coaches and the dads that do it by a wide, wide margin have been fantastic to work with.
You mentioned you have an 11-year-old son. With your job, have you been able to coach him?
Yeah. I mean, we always have to have, you know, another dad or two, and actually we've got a kid now that he's 23 or 24 that doesn't have a kid on the team, and I love that interaction, just the way that 11 and 12-year-old kid looks at somebody that isn't a dad, and I think it's really healthy. So as much as I can, I mean, ultimately, you know, with the college game and obviously this, our kids are done playing at this point, but when the college game is going nuts, you end up missing a lot. But I'm there as much as I can, and I also like I like not being a head coach.
Yeah,
I like having my son look at somebody else as a coach. You know, you can grab kids and do some things and try to teach them the game because I do love being a part of that piece of it. But I think it's good for kids to be to have to interact with somebody that's not dad. And I think you look at it a little bit different way when they're growing up.
You, of course, have performed in this at the highest level. So what did it take for you to dial back from the pressure of the highest level, the criticism at times of the highest level, to then realize that you're talking about 11 and 12-year-olds?
I mean, this is the ultimate, really, from our standpoint, because you can try to, and not only can, like we should, try to find something good in everything that happens.
And you do.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, it could be footwork on a kid's play, or it could be, you know, positioning or cutoff man or whatever else it is. And so I think for us that are kind of baseball junkies that go do it, you can try to teach as much as possible. And you know, if I'm doing a college game, if that's the way that we did it, I don't think it's the right way to cover it. I mean, there's sometimes we have to criticize a college coach or a college kid for doing something that maybe they shouldn't do or a mistake. And as you get older, clearly I think the eyes start to change a little bit from a coverage standpoint. At this level, you just get to talk about the good stuff, and very, very rarely is there anything negative that we have to touch on, and that's fun from our standpoint because you can just you can teach and enjoy the game as opposed to feeling like sometimes you really have to criticize. There's a time and a place, you know, at the college level, the major league level, we have to criticize, and if you don't, you're not doing your job. It's not the case here, and that's what makes it fun.
I know for people who go over to Volunteer Stadium, over to Lomity Stadium, you know, or sit up on the hill, they can get in for free. They can pay a dollar for a hot dog. The fact that it's like every other Little League game in the country, what do you think that means? What kind of message does it send that it's treated that way?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And that's the one thing that got me the first time, and you know, my first time was 14 years ago that I went and covered it, was the direct carryover. And obviously there's a lot of things that are different, but you know, some of the direct carryover to what would be if you walked down the street to your closest Little League field to you. I was talking to somebody about this the other day that, you know, I was in the field for some of this the first few years as opposed to in the booth. And when you're on the field, you hear the kids in the dugout. And the conversations are the same conversations that I heard from my kids during the course of this year. It just happens to be in a little bit different setting. And I think that's the beauty of it. You know, you look at the looks on parents' faces and sometimes and that's what parents do. It's fine. Sometimes you get a little bit too caught up in the game itself. And a lot of times you hear the kids and what they're talking about in the in the dugouts, and it's exactly the opposite. And that's kind of the beauty of the age, I think. And it's one of my favorite parts of, about the tournament, is it really is, for the most part, it's kids being kids, and that's fun.
There's also a lot of players you have to get to at least know or understand something about. What has that? What does it take, especially when you don't know until maybe a week ahead of time who's in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty good cram session that takes place when we get there. Our research department, which is at least six or seven deep, and I might be underselling a little bit, has already been there for a week. And so, you know, I'll get probably 15 or 20 emails today that has full biographical information about all the different teams, the interviews that they've done with them ahead of time. And these guys and gals do incredible work, because it's not, you know, if we're doing a, if I go to, you know, whoever, Alabama, Tennessee on a weekend, you know, you get full notes and all the stuff that's run in the paper for the days before and history on the kids. And this is a little bit different. And so the work that they do ahead of time from a research standpoint, and then the openness of coaches and parents to really discuss their stories, makes it a little bit easier to where we can learn a lot more about them. But it's a pretty good cram session for a few days. Then you're trying to learn more every day.
One final question, because I know we have to let you go. You have other things you have to do. And that is about the state of youth baseball in the country. ESPN does an incredible job with this, and it looks and sounds like it's something kids would love to be involved in, yet the research shows that the numbers in youth baseball are down. How concerned are you with that?
Very. I mean, I think the biggest challenge, you know, there's a lot of challenges, I think, associated with baseball. It's more expensive to play than some other sports. Not all, but some. You know, the gear, some of these bats and gloves and everything else comes along with it. And, it can be expensive. And then, you know, the whole idea of these select programs and playing a ton of games at a very young age, well, you got to pay for that as well. And I think that's the biggest challenge with baseball, is that economically, are you pricing people out of a youth game at way too young of an age? And I think at times it's starting to happen. That's really disappointing, because I think that, and it's totally understandable, some families can't spend that amount of money on a select team or go spend $300 on a bat or whatever it is. You just can't do it. It's not a life reality. And I think that Major League Baseball is doing a better job of really trying to get to the grassroots level. And I do think Little League does a great job, too. But it's still concerning when you see the overall numbers of kids going to different places. Hopefully, a lot of them tune in over the next 2 weeks. And see some kids that are relatively the same age as they are playing the game. And the continued approach of Major League Baseball and Little League starts driving down, because you got to have these kids engaged at 5, 6, 7 years old, because if not, there's a chance that they never get engaged. And it doesn't lend itself to the type of future that we want for baseball. But yeah, it's not gone. It's definitely not. But there needs to be a continued focus on that 5, 6, 7 year old kid, get him engaged early and get him hooked on the sport. Because I think when kids are, it's still a sport and will be a sport that they can be engaged in for a long time.
Coverage begins Thursday on ESPN, which Kyle will be a part of. He'll also take it all the way through, where he's going to be part of the announced team for the international championship, the U.S. championship, as well as the consolation and championship games, which will be the 25th, 26th, and 25th, 27th, and 28th. Kyle, thanks a lot for carving out time, and best of luck with this. You guys really do a great job, and obviously you do as well.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Kyle Peterson, ESPN. You'll see him on the Little League World Series. And yes, he will work the U.S. International and the Little League World Series championship games, as well as preliminary rounds. He gets the third game of the day on Thursday, as a matter of fact. Okay, so we've gone college football with Phil Steele, Philly sports with Matt Leon, and the Little League World Series. Where to next? We've already given Entenmann's a free ad. Purdy Insurance sponsors us today. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. There have been a couple sour notes at the Olympics. One, of course, is the pool turned green. That doesn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence. Another one would be Ryan Lochte getting robbed at gunpoint. That usually is a bummer. And then there's the Gabby Douglas story. Gabby Douglas, who won the Olympic all-around in London and has had a great career. And in the last 4 years, look, she's had, you know, a couple of injuries and so forth, but she made the team. She was an absolute contributor to them winning the team title. She'll get a gold medal out of that. But she's been criticized left and right. Didn't put her hand over her heart for the national anthem. Has been criticized on social media. I think she's received a bad deal in all this. And here's why. All right, let's start with the competition part. I cannot stomach rules on an international level that limits how many finalists you can have. I'm sorry. We need to spread the wealth. Look, this is not kumbaya. This is the Olympics. And if the best three gymnasts in the world happen to be in the all-around from one country, so be it. I don't care if it's all the Russians. I don't care if it's all the Romanians. I don't care. Gabby Douglas, in the preliminary to qualify, actually had the third highest all-around score. But because her score was not higher than Simone Biles or Ali Raisman, who eventually won gold and silver respectively, she wasn't allowed to compete. Oh, the fourth place girl could compete, but the third place couldn't. Why? Well, I'm sorry, your country has met its quota. Stupidity. Right? Gamesmanship. Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, hey, everybody, sway back and forth. Sway back and forth. It's competition, all right? Okay, it's competition. You can sway back and forth in the village, okay, in the Olympic Village. All right? You know, the meetings of the world. When it comes time to compete, I want to find out who the best three are. Well, she wasn't allowed to compete in the all-around because she had the third highest score in the entire preliminary competition. Not allowed to. U.S. can only have two. Really? I mean, ask yourself, why is softball out of the Olympics and is not coming back till 2020? Because the U.S. is too good at it. I mean, that's the reason why. So that was bad. Then the part where they win the gold medal as a team, and she doesn't put her hand over her heart. Now, my parents taught me. My father was a Marine, corporal in the Marines. My mother, very patriotic, always taught me, put my hand over my heart for the national anthem. And I always do. And I hear the national anthem more than anybody during the course of a year. But I don't look around at other people that don't and say, you should be doing that. I never do. Hey, it's my choice to put my hand over my heart, and if somebody else just wants to stand politely and listen to it and then sit down or whatever, fine, so be it. But the judgments all over social media, like she's some sort of evil seed because she stood at attention and didn't put her hand over her, come on. Come on. Take care of your own house. Take care of your own house. Like I said, I always do. I was taught to do that. It was drummed into me. My mother would be very upset with me if I didn't, and my father would be, who was a quiet man, furious. So I always have. But I never look around at other people. What are you doing? Yeah, put your hand over. Never. You do what you think is best for you. It's fine. That's why it's a free country. And there have been other criticisms about her and how she competed in gymnastics. She wasn't enthusiastic enough supporting people. You don't know what's running through somebody's mind. The social media stuff, just stop it. Take care of your own house and your own problems first. Okay? If I wanted your advice, I would have asked. I think it's something. She's 20 years old. She's won an Olympic gold medal in the all-around. She's won an Olympic gold, two Olympic gold medals in the team competition. And she's a multiple gold medalist. She's got her entire life in front of her. Let her take care of her own house. You should take care of your house. The social media thing is so out of control with so many know-it-alls out there. They know what you're thinking. They know how you should feel. They know how you should act. It's like, okay, look, okay? Over there in the glass house, okay, put the rock down. Too much judging of people. Now, as for the suit, I've got a few judgments about the suit. I think he's... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. This show's all about judgment, isn't it?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I love that Monty Python bit. And that's the one where he originally goes in... And he goes in and he starts the argument part. And he says, "You're a moron. You're a jerk. You're a piece of lint." He goes, "What? That's rather personal." He goes, "You're a jerk. You're an idiot." He goes, "I don't have to put up with that." He says, "I'm just here for an argument." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." He says, "This is abuse. Argument's two doors down. I feel awful." Only Monty Python could do that. I'm sorry. I feel awful. This is abuse. All right. Our sports bozo of the day, the Chicago Cubs. The music track they played when Aroldis Chapman got a save the other night, considering his recent past, was not the best choice of music. The runner-up, by the way, the International Olympic Committee. Nobody got robbed. Nobody got robbed. All right, maybe they got robbed. But can't you just tell the truth? It's okay to admit somebody got robbed. All right? I know you're trying to promote Kumbaya, and everybody's locked arms, and we're all swaying back and forth. But really... Don't lie. Don't be disingenuous. Just tell the truth, okay? You got robbed. Three other guys got robbed. It happens, all right? I hate that it happened. I think it's disgusting it happened. But there's no need to sit there and go, "Oh, no, that didn't happen." What are we going to do? I mean, right now, the current game plan on how to handle problems in the world is very simple. Deny, 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 deny. If you can outlast and outwait everybody, it'll eventually go away. Brilliant plan. It's a brilliant plan. Let's see. The Red Sox won today. David Ortiz homered. Shocking. Number 27 for him. As did Jackie Bradley Jr., by the way. Hit his 19th. Ortiz has now driven in 92 runs this year at the age of 60. Just kidding about that. Drew Pomeranz won it. Craig Kimbrell saved it. And the Red Sox now have four straight wins. This was a makeup game. They only had 19,000 today at Cleveland, and these two teams are not great teams, but good teams. The Indians are currently 18 games over 500. The Red Sox are 13 games over 500. Yep, Ortiz, now with 27 home runs, 92 driven in, and a 312 average. Not bad. The Phillies have won four in a row, as we pointed out earlier. I give them a lot of credit. Well, Pete McCann's done a good job. They've hung in there. And then we might as well put out the... All right, here, let me read the Suits text this morning. Sent at 4:30, I might add.
I never do that.
That's a bit ripe. My guy Phelps bounces back from his time of questionable judgment to recapture not only his reputation, but to hopefully to turn his life around. In the process, becomes the greatest Olympian ever. He breaks a 2,000-year-old record for Olympic titles by Leonidas of Rhodes. Now, while accurate, that is also very disingenuous. Why, you ask? This is the point where you jump in and say why.
Why?
The Olympics weren't held for 1,900 years. Didn't come back until Pierre de Coubertin brought it back in 1896. So it wasn't as if some medieval dude like Thor of Canterbury could have gone out and won 30 medals. Thor wasn't allowed to compete. I mean, I looked at Decimus Maximus Meridius. I mean, come on. Maximus would have won some medals, don't you think? I mean, that's not Gladiator. I thought Crow was great in it. So it's a disingenuous record when you don't have the competition for 1,900 years. And this is why the suit can't stand me. Oh, well. The coverage, as they've done a great job on coverage, but the women's gymnastics thing is a burr in the saddle. The ratings have been good, not London-esque. London had better ratings. But in terms of overall programming, there's nothing that approaches numbers like you get for the Olympic Games. So they're able to sell out, get a lot of money, the whole deal. Doesn't have the impact that it potentially could have because it doesn't happen in November, February, or May, which happen to be the sweeps months. But still, it does have an impact. I also realize that, for example, in Los Angeles, prime time in Los Angeles, let's just say it's 7 o'clock to midnight here. Well, that means prime time in Los Angeles is technically 10 o'clock to 3 a.m., there, same time as here. So I know, I realize that out the West, you have your fair share of taped events for the Olympics. I understand that. When you put it on prime time. But here's the next part. When people start talking about whether or not we should report on it. Yeah. Until we start getting checks from NBC to not. I mean, I always love this cover your ears thing, okay? Well, you can cover your ears, okay? You don't want to know, I'll tell you right now. You cover your ears now, okay? Okay. Done? You don't want to know the results. Today was the beam final. and Simone Biles did not win. She got a bronze today in the beam. Okay. You can uncover your ears now.
Yeah, that competition was going on about an hour and a half ago. And actually, on the 3 o'clock news on CBS, Steve Futterman did a live report. She had just finished her routine, but there were still like four remaining. Yeah. But there was they knew at that point she wasn't going to hit the gold because she touched the beam.
Well, Lori Hernandez beat her out.
Yeah.
Lori Hernandez got the silver today. It's just fine. She's had an awesome Olympics. All-around team vault. She got 3 golds. Okay. So, somebody else won. It's all right. In fact, she was trying to break a 2,000-year-old record.
You don't say.
2,000 years. Only the suit can compare what Michael Phelps did to some dude in a loincloth 2,000 years ago. What's he doing? I mean, it's a desperate stat. It's desperate. And he's still mad at me because I didn't get his autograph. And I said, you don't get people's autographs in this business. What the heck? Have some respect for yourself. Oh, man. But, I mean, is it ESPN's job to not report it? Is it our job to not report it? Is it CBS's job to not report it? It's not our jobs. It's not our jobs. No, I'll never forget this. And believe me, I feel for people who want to know or don't want to know. So please, I have some sympathy for it. But in 1998, the Nagano Olympics were going on. And the big matchup was Tara Lipinski against Michelle Kwan in women's figure skating. So I was working at another station at the time. I'm doing the morning news and sports. And just before I go on, like maybe 30 seconds before, we get it on the wire. Tara Lipinski wins the gold medal in figure skating. Michelle Kwan takes the silver. So I go on and I report that Tara Lipinski wins the gold medal and Michelle Kwan got the silver. And this woman called me up and she just railed on me for 5 minutes. How awful I am, how I ruined your experience, wanted to watch it, wanted to be surprised. And, I shouldn't open my big mouth. I'm like, I'm sorry. But then again, it's not my job to do that. I don't work for NBC Sports. NBC Sports makes a conscious decision to put it on tape delay. It's not my job to back up their decision. That's NBC. NBC makes a conscious choice as to what to air live and what to package and do on tape. I mean, that's their decision. Our decision is to report, okay, well, I mean, out of you, we update baseball scores here all the time. I just gave you the Red Sox 3-2-1 over Cleveland final. I'm sorry, did that ruin anybody's experience, or did you want to know? Well, the playoffs will be going on. We'll update scores as to what's going on in the playoffs, things like that. We do it all the time.
And since we were talking Little League World Series a little earlier with Kyle Peterson, there was a game that actually was played today at Lomedy between Michigan and Kentucky. It was the Great Lakes Regional Championship. There was 2-plus days of rain out in Indianapolis, so they decided to bus both teams to Williamsport, and Kentucky won today 7-2. So Kentucky will stay in Williamsport, their first game coming up on Friday.
Yeah, it must have been a thrill even for the other team to go in there and play a game there. I think it's great.
That's a first. Yeah, have a regional final there a couple days before the series. Special treat.
I think that's great. And I think that, but as for NBC, It's 2016. Now, just because they make choices, and you're not being vindictive here when you're reporting. You're not saying, I'm going to get them. You know, it's on tape, so I'm going to tell everybody who won. That's not the job of it. Just like we reported that the Red Sox beat the Indians 3-2, just like we reported that the Kentucky team won and advanced in the Little League World Series, it's news. So, in the beam today, Lori Hernandez got the silver and Simone Biles got the bronze. Okay. Happens. Now, whose fault is it? Is it our fault for reporting it like we do all the other stuff? Or is it NBC's fault for not getting the time of the competition moved so it could be live? Or just plain not having it on live? Whose fault is it? I mean, it happened. Do you expect 1,000 journalists who are on hand covering the events to not say? Because NBC paid a lot of money? Again, they're the ones that elect. It is their choice to not carry it live. Now, their coverage has been excellent on everything across the board. And the women's gymnastics coverage has been excellent, except for the opening night. When the teams had to qualify to get in, they kept showing the U.S. sitting around. I'm like, gymnastics, there's so much waiting. That was Al Troutwick's comment. Yeah, there's waiting in real time, yes. But when it's on tape, you can edit out the waiting. That's one of the glories of being on tape. We can edit out the waiting. Everything else, they've done a great job with. You know, and look, the announcing's been great on it. Obviously, the performances have been great. That'd be my only complaint about it. I mean, you don't have enough. I mean, you're paying enough money. You don't have enough pull to get women's gymnastics moved to 9 o'clock Eastern time. You don't have pull to do that. 10 o'clock Brazilian time. Because the next three Olympics are all going to be on tape. South Korea 2018, Summer Games in Tokyo 2020, Beijing Winter Games in 2022. The next three are all on tape. There's going to be no live events. It's 2016 now. We expect live. This show, by the way, was previously recorded. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Wagner sent us a note on Facebook if we're going to talk about the Susquehanna University reporting a major NCAA violation involving two alumni and a member of the football team. Jennifer Wakeman did this story and put it out yesterday. The story goes as follows. Susquehanna found that alumnus Nick Lopardo paid the tuition bill of a member of the football team in 2015. They became suspicious in August of 2015 after the player's overdue tuition bill was paid the same day that the alumnus, Joe Palchik, a member of the Board of Trustees, inquired about the status of the student's bill. Interviews were conducted, but no conclusive evidence was found. In February of this year, Lopardo mentioned head coach Tom Perkovich and an assistant coach that he was the reason one of the star players was able to compete in 2015. The coaches then did the right thing and went right to administrators and told them right away, and the investigation then resumed. So there are self-imposed sanctions on the football program at Susquehanna. A student athlete has been declared ineligible, must complete 50 hours of community service, and serve a three-game suspension as mandated by NCAA requirements for reinstatement. All five victories from 2015 vacated. 2016 team will not be permitted to participate in postseason play. Football program placed on a two-year probation. And the Board of Trustees at Susquehanna taking action against the two alumni involved in the infraction. Lopardo has been permanently disassociated from SU's athletic program, and his name will be removed from the school's football stadium. Palchik, who admitted to not being fully forthcoming during the investigation, has resigned from the Board of Trustees and has been disassociated from the Department of Athletics for a period of 5 years. And that story is on our website. So, great job by Jennifer Wakeman, as always, getting that story and getting details in there.
And we also picked up an email last week, Steve, from one of our listeners wanting to know when the first coaches show will be with you and Coach Franklin.
That's a really good question. I think it's a week from Thursday. I think it's a week from Thursday. So that would be what the...
I figured while your toes are in the sand, Mr. Tarman would have sent you an email, but okay.
I think it's the 25th of August.
Okay.
All right.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's next week. I think it has to be next Thursday, the 25th, because I know the Daily Show starts on the Monday, the 22nd. So is Wakeman going to go over to our big get-together next week or what?
She'll definitely be there. Absolutely.
Oh, good. We're going to have a special guest there, too, by the way. It's going to be terrific. Penn Tavern, next Monday, show live. Come on out, join us, and enjoy the great, great food there. I know we will in bulk.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.